إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له، وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، then to continue with Kitab al-Tawheed, with the explanation of Fath al-Majid, then we are on the chapter 27, Babu Ma Jaa Fi al-Tatayyur, chapter what is reported with regard to taking evil omens. And we reach the hadith, the first hadith in the chapter. وعن أبي هريرة رضي الله عنه أن رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم قال لا عدوى ولا طيرة ولا هامة ولا سفر، أخرجاه زاد مسلم ولا نوء ولا غول. And from Abu Huraira رضي الله عنه, that Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no adwa, no contagious disease, which passes on without Allah's permission. Wala tiyarata, and there are no bad omens. Wala hamata, and there is no omen to be derived from owls. وَلَا سَفَرْ, and there are no bad omens to be taken from the month of Safar. They both report it, meaning Al-Bukhari and Muslim. And Muslim added in his narration, وَلَا نَوْءَ, and there are no omens to be taken from the stars. وَلَا غُولَ, and there are no ghouls or goblins. And the hadith, you'll find it in Al-Bukhari in the Book of Medicine, chapter La Hama, there are no omens to be derived from owls, hadith number 5757, and reported by Muslim in the Book of Salam, hadith number 2220. Then the explainer says, Abu Sa'adat, who is Ibn al-Athir, he said, Al-Adwa, the first thing that's denied in the hadith, Al-Adwa, he said, it is a noun from al-i'da, meaning something being transmitted or passed on. It is said in the language, the disease was passed on to him. When a person becomes afflicted by the same disease as the person who originally had it, then this term is used, meaning a disease that transmits and goes from one person to another. Then he said, and other people said, La Adwa refers to Al-Iqda. It means an ailment passing from one person who is suffering from the ailment to something else. And what is denied here is the illness departing from one person altogether and moving on to another person, or it's being related to the illness itself, something that acts on its own. And the first is what is clear. Then he said, and in the narration of Muslim there occurs, that Abu Huraira used to narrate the hadith, La adwa, there is no disease that transmits without Allah's permission. And he used to narrate it from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, also that he said, a sick person should not be entered upon a healthy person. And then later on, Abu Huraira restricted himself to narrating the hadith, a sick person should not be entered upon a healthy person. And he withheld from narrating the hadith, La adwa, there is no disease that transmits. So the people referred back to him about that. And they said to him, we heard you narrating it. But he refused to confirm that. So then Abu Muslima, the narrator from Abu Huraira, said, I do not know whether Abu Huraira forgot or whether one of the two sayings abrogated the other. And then there's another narration of this which the explainer doesn't bring, but the narration of Abu Dawood, which is declared authentic by Shaykh al-Albani to this hadith, that the narrator from Abu Huraira, and it should be Abu Salama, not Abu Muslima. Abu Salama, rather. I said it was Abu Muslima. There's a mistake in this version here. It should be Abu Salama narrating from Abu Huraira. Radiallahu anhu. So the narration of Abu Dawud for this hadith, Abu Salama, the narrator from Abu Huraira, said, but he did narrate it. He confirmed that Abu Huraira used to narrate this hadith, La Adwa. And I have never heard Abu Huraira forgetting a single hadith except for this one. Then he said, the explainer then said, and this hadith, La Adwa, there is no disease that transmits without Allah's permission, is reported by a group of the companions, Anas ibn Malik, and Jabir ibn Abdullah, and As-Sa'ib ibn Yazid, and Ibn Umar, and others. Sa'ib ibn Yazid. And others besides them report this hadith as well. In other words, confirming this hadith. That Abu Huraira narrated it, and other companions as well, so it's confirmed. And in some wordings of this hadith, there occurs the additional wording, وَفِرَّ مِنَ الْمَجْذُومِ كَمَا تَفِرَّ مِنَ الْأَسَدِ, and flee from the person who has leprosy, just as you would flee from a lion. And Shaykh al-Albani authenticates this hadith in As-Sahiha, number 780. And the hadith with the wording, لا عدوى ولا هامة ولا سفر واتقوا المجذوم كما يؤتق الأسد. There is no adwa, there is no disease that is transmitted without Allah's permission. And there is no omen to be derived from owls. And there is no bad omen in safar. And avoid the person with leprosy, just as the lion is avoided. Shaykh al-Albani declared that authentic. So that contains an important addition in explanation of this hadith. Because some people may understand this hadith to be a denial of there being any diseases that can transmit from one person to another. And that understanding is not correct. As is shown by the part at the end, and avoid the person with leprosy just as the lion is avoided. Then the explainer said, and the scholars, the people of knowledge, differ in explanation of this. And the best thing that has been said about it is the saying of Al-Bayhaqi. And he was followed in that by Ibn al-Salah, and by Ibn al-Qayyim, and Ibn Rajab, and Ibn Muflih, and others. That the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, La adwa, there is no disease which transmits, meaning in the sense which was believed by the people in the times of Jahiliyyah, that they held that it occurred or was done by other than Allah the Most High, meaning that the diseases could spread and pass on, and that was caused by other than Allah the Most High. So this hadith is a denial of that belief. They believed that these affairs, by their very own nature, transfer from one person to another on their own. So that is how some of the scholars, and that is the correct explanation of the hadith. It's a denial of al-adwa, disease that transmits, in the way that the people of Jahiliyyah understood it. They believe that the disease itself, it was in someone's body, and the disease by itself, not by Allah's permission, just transmitted and went to someone else and someone else like that, outside Allah's control. So this hadith is a denial of that belief of theirs. Then the explainer said, otherwise it is a fact that Allah by His will has made the fact that a healthy person, if he mixes with a sick person who has certain illnesses, Allah has made that a cause for that illness to appear in the healthy person. And therefore we find that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, firra min al-majdhumi kama tafirra min al-asad. Flee from the person who has leprosy just as you would flee from a lion. So the explainer is establishing the point that this hadith doesn't deny contagious diseases. It doesn't deny that fact. Rather, it denies the belief that the people of Jahiliyyah had, that diseases of their own nature could just move around from one person to another, not by the permission of Allah. So this hadith denies their belief. This hadith rejects their belief. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a sick person should not be entered upon a healthy person. And he said with regard to the plague, At-Ta'un, in the hadith reported by Al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Usama ibn Zayd, Man sami'a bihi fi aradin fala yaqduma alayh. That the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said about the plague, whoever of you hears of it being in a land, and do not go to that land. And all of this occurs by the decree of Allah the Most High. So he's establishing that diseases do occur which transmit from one person to another, but it only happens by the permission and the decree of Allah, not as the people of Jahiliyyah believed, independently of that. Then the explainer said, and Ahmad and At-Tirmidhi report from Ibn Mas'ud that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, La yu'di shay'un shay'an qalaha thalathan faqala a'rabiyun hadith. That Ibn Mas'ud reported that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, nothing transmits from one thing to another thing by itself. So then a Bedouin Arab said, O Messenger of Allah, what about the scabs which appear on the tail of a camel? Although the scabs which appear on the lip of a camel or on its tail, and then they get passed on to the rest of the camels, I mean the rest of the camels in that herd of camels, this passes on. So Allah's Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, then who caused the first camel to have these scabs. لا عدوى ولا طيرة ولا هامة ولا سفر. خلق الله كل نفس وكتب حياتها ومصائبها ورزقها. The hadith is reported by Ahmad and at-Tirmidhi and declared sahih by Shaykh al-Albani, that when the man asked about what about the scabs appear on one camel and then pass on to the rest of the camels, so then Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him, then who caused the scabs to appear on the first one? There is no adwa, there is no disease that transmits without Allah's permission, and there is no evil omens, and there is no bad omen to be derived from owls, and there is no evil omen in the month of Safar. Allah has created every soul and has written down its life and its afflictions and its provision. Then the explainer said, showing why he brought this narration, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam explained that all of this occurs by the ordainment and decree, by the qada and the qadr of Allah the Most High. So whatever diseases or afflictions or the like occur, then it is by Allah's permission. So diseases do occur and diseases do transmit from one to another, but only by Allah's permission and by according to His decree. Then the explainer said, and the servant is commanded to keep away from any causes of evil, any causes that will lead into something evil, when he is safe from that. So just as he is commanded that he should not throw himself into water or into fire, because it is known by habit that that will lead to his destruction or will harm him, so in the same manner he is commanded to keep away from getting close to a sick person, such as a person with contagious leprosy, and avoiding going into a land where there is contagious plague, because all of these are causes of illness and perishing. And it is Allah the Perfect who is the creator of these causes and of that which occurs through them. There is no creator besides Him, and nobody has power and control besides Him. Then the explainer brings a further point and says, but if a person's tawakkul, reliance upon Allah and his iman in Allah's decree, his preordainment and his decree, if that becomes very strong, and his soul becomes strong enough to come into contact with some of these causes, but he relies solely upon Allah and has hope solely in Allah that that will not cause him any harm, then in this condition it becomes permissible for him to go into contact with that, particularly if there is general benefit, there is benefit for the rest of the people, or benefit for him in particular. Wallahu a'lam. Then the explainer brings a weak narration to support that point, and the hadith is weak, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to eat along with people with leprosy, and he's quoted it as the hadith reported by Abu Dawud and at Tirmidhi. And the hadith is not authentic, the hadith is weak, so it's not usable as a proof. And then he says, and the like of this is also reported from Umar and from Abdullah the son of Umar and from Salman, that they would eat along with people who had leprosy, radiallahu anhum. Yeah.
Is that Abu Dawud and Tirmidhi? hadith week.
The companions did. That's from the same hadith.
No, it's different, separate. And with regard to the report from Salman, then, as the practice of Salman, that he would, when he had extra food, he would invite people with leprosy to come and eat with him. And Shaykh al-Albani declared that narration authentic. In Silsilatul Da'ifa, volume 3, page 281 to 282, as being the practice of Salman. Then the explainer said, and similar to this is what is reported from Khalid ibn al-Walid radiallahu anhu, that he drank some poison or ate some poison. And another example of it is Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqqas and Abu Muslim al-Khawlani walking upon the surface of the sea. This was stated by Ibn Rajab rahimahullah. Wallahu a'lam about these reports, generally, wallahu a'lam. But the author, the explainer rather, he brings these as an exception to the general rule. And whatever the case, what is generally upon us, if not what is always upon us, wallahu a'lam, is to do what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned, that if you hear of the plague in a land, then do not enter it. And flee from the person who has leprosy, just as you would flee from a lion. And these exceptions that the explainer brings, if they're authentic and if they can be acted upon, then it is specific examples for specific cases where there is benefit in that situation. Allahu a'lam. Then the explainer said, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam in the hadith, the next thing which he denied, وَلَا تِيَرَةَ, and there are no evil omens. That's the part of the hadith that directly applies, well, all of it applies in this chapter. There are no evil omens. Ibn al-Qayyim, he said, Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, this could be a denial. There are no evil omens. Or it could be a prohibition, meaning do not take evil omens. However, his saying in the hadith, there is no disease that transmits, nor any evil omens from the month of Safar, nor any evil omens to be derived from owls, show that what is meant is a denial of the existence of these things, and a refutation of these matters, which the people of Jahiliyyah used to accept. And this denial, a denial of their existence, has more emphasis than just a prohibition. Meaning, it's more emphatic that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was denying it, saying these things, there's no reality to them. It's stronger than him just saying, do not do them. He said, because a denial shows that these things are false and futile and have no effect, whereas his prohibiting them would only show that he had forbidden them, that they were prohibited. And there occurs in Sahih Muslim from Muawiyah ibn al-Hakam that he said to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there are some of us, some people who derive omens. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam replied to him, that is something which one of you feels in himself, so do not let it prevent you from doing anything. Reported by Muslim. The explainer said, so he informed that this is just a person's own feeling. His feeling that harm will come about, and his own deriving a bad omen. It is only something with the person himself and connected to his own belief. It is not something that is to be found in the object which he derives an omen from. What he's explaining is that when a person feels a bad omen about a certain bird or something, that there's nothing wrong with that bird he's taken an omen from. It's something wrong with the person himself in his own belief. There's nothing in that bird. No bad omen, no bad in it. So he's having false ideas about that thing, and he's fearing it, and he's making association with that thing. That is what gives him an omen, and that is what prevents him. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made this clear to his ummah, and he made it clear that bad omens are false and futile, in order that the people should know that Allah the Perfect did not make any sign in such things for them, and he did not place any indication in these things for them to gather. He did not make these things a cause for anything which they should fear and beware of. So instead, their hearts should now become calm, and their souls should become settled with the Tawheed of Allah, the Most High, that which the messengers were sent with, and which he sent down his books with, and for which he created the heavens and the earth, and for which the two abodes, the paradise and the fire, were created and inhabited. All of that because of Tawheed. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he cut off any connection to shirk from their hearts, so that there should be no drop of shirk remaining in them, and nothing from the actions of the people of the fire should become mixed up with their actions. So whoever clings on tightly to the handhold of Tawheed and holds firmly to the firm handhold and truly depends and relies upon Allah, then he will cut off any murmurings of evil omens before they have a chance to settle. And he will beat such promptings before they take control of him. So in the like of this hadith, the Prophet ﷺ cut off any such things altogether. Then he says, he gives some examples from the Salaf. He said, Ikrimah, the Tabi'i, Ikrimah said, we were sitting with Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, and a bird flew past, crowing. So a man from the people said, Khayrun, Khayrun, good, good. So Ibn Abbas replied to him, La khayra wa la shar, it is neither good nor evil. And this report, Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar mentions it in Fathul Bari, and mentions it as being reported by At-Tabari. So the explainer said, so in this narration, Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, he quickly criticized that man in order that there should be no belief held that it has any influence in good or in bad. I mean, a crow flew past, made a noise, and the man said, good, good. So Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma criticized him straight away and stopped it, stopped any such idea arising that it was a sign of good or bad. Then he brings another narration from the student of Ibn Abbas, Tawus. He said, and Tawus went out on a journey with a companion of his, and a crow crowed. So the man said, Khair, it is good. So Tawus said to him, and what good is there with that? La tashabni, do not accompany me any further. And our brother reported that in Sheikh Al-Fawzan's lesson a short while ago, when he mentioned this point, he said this is also a proof, and yet a further proof, for avoiding the people of innovation. That when this happened from his companion, he cut off from him. So do not accompany me in any further. And that's the end of the quote from Ibn al-Qayyim, the long quote from Ibn al-Qayyim, from his book, Miftah Dar al-Sa'ada. Then the explainer said, and there are some ahadith reported which some people understand to show it permissible to take omens, such as the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, الشؤم في ثلاث في المرأة والدابة والدار. A hadith reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim from the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhuma, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is reported as saying, evil omen, or shum, bad omen or bad feeling or something like that, or something like that. Evil omen is in three: in the woman, and in the riding beast, and in the home. So he said some people use this to show that there is such a thing as evil omen, or some extent. So the explainer responds to this and says, but Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala said, the fact that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentions evil omen in these three things does not contain any affirmation of the evil omen at Tatayyur, which Allah the Perfect has denied. Rather, the most that it contains is that Allah the Perfect may create or has created certain things which will produce bad for a person. They may produce a bad effect for the person who comes near to them or lives in them. Whereas also he creates certain things which contain blessing for the person. The person who goes near them will not receive any bad feelings nor any evil. And this is just the same as the way in which Allah the Perfect may grant the two parents a blessed child upon whose face they see the signs of good, whereas he may give a child to others who shows signs of bad. The signs of bad are seen upon his face, and this may occur as well with regard to what a person is given with regard to governorship of a certain place. So likewise with regard to a house or a woman or a horse. And Allah the Perfect is the creator of good and of evil, and he is the creator of the sources of happiness and good fortune, and he is the creator of things which result in evil for people. So the fact that he created certain things as a means to success and blessing, which lead the person who goes near them to success and lead him into prosperity and blessing, and he also creates things which will produce evil consequences for those who go near them, and all of this is by his preordainment and his decree. Just as it is the case that Allah has created for everything certain causes, and he tied these things to their causes, and things may occur opposite to that. Just as Allah has created the perfume musk and other sweet-smelling perfumes, and he has made them a delight for those who go near to them, and he has created the opposite of them, and has made those things a source of harm for people who go near them. And the difference between these two types of things, I mean that which causes benefit and blessing and that which causes harm, the difference between these two types of things is easily reached by one's senses. So the same applies with regard to homes and women and horses. This is one matter, and at-tiyarata, deriving evil omens relating to shirk, this is something very different. So that was the explanation of Ibn al-Qayyim and his response to this hadith. And Shaykh al-Albani brings a different response, which is in brief, that the hadith ash-shu'mu fi thalath, evil omen or evil bad feelings may be produced from three things. Shaykh al-Bani said in as-sahiha number 442, because he brings a different wording, the wording of Al-Bukhari, إِنْ كَانَ فِي شَيْءٍ, if it were in anything, فَفِي الْمَرْأَةِ وَالدَّابَّةِ وَالدَّارِ, if this evil feeling or were to exist in anything, then it would exist in the woman and the riding beast and the home. So Shaykh al-Albani said, after bringing this second important wording that explains the thing, he said, so the hadith with this wording, what is understood from it is that this evil omen does not actually exist in anything, because it means if a shu'm, bad feelings, bad omen, if it did exist in anything, then it would be in these three things. However, it does not exist in anything at all. So therefore, what occurs in some narrations, ash-shu'mu fi thalath, bad omen is in three, then this is just an abridgment from some of the narrators, and Allah knows best. So Shaykh al-Albani rebuts it with that understanding. The narrators have reported it with that wording, but it's an abridgment of the true wording. The true wording is, إِنْ كَانَ فِي شَيْءٍ, if it did exist in anything, then it would be in these three. Understand? The understanding being, it doesn't exist. And if it did exist, it would exist in these things which a person regularly encounters all the time: his wife, his house, and his riding beast. But it doesn't exist. Wallahu a'lam. Then the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَلَا هَامَّةَ, the third thing denied in the hadith, and there is no hama. He said, the hama is a night bird. It is as if what is meant is the owl, the boomer, the owl. And Ibn al-A'rabi said, the people, meaning in the times of Jahiliyyah, the people used to take it as being a bad omen. They used to believe that if an owl settled upon the house of one of them, then the person would say, I or someone from my house is going to die. So this hadith came as a denial of that and as a refutation of it. And he's saying the fourth thing denied, وَلَا سَفَرَ, and there is no safar. Then Abu Ubaidah said in his book, غريب الحديث, from Ru'bah, that he said, the safar was a snake. Well, this was their belief. They held a belief that there used to be a snake which used to lie in the stomach of the animals and the people, and that it was more contagious than the camel mange. They used to believe this snake existed in the bellies, and it could pass from one person to another. So this hadith came as a refutation of that. And Al-Bukhari, in a chapter heading in his Sahih, said that it was a disease which afflicts the stomach. That's what they used to have as their belief. Then the explainer said, so with this understanding, then what is meant by denying it is the same as the denial of their belief with regard to contagious diseases. And from those who explained it in this way were Sufyan ibn Uyayna and Imam Ahmad and Al-Bukhari and Ibn Jarir al-Tabari. So they said what it means is this belief of the pre-Islamic Arabs, that there was a snake in the bellies of animals and people, and it could move quickly from one to another and pass on the disease. So this hadith came as a denial of that. Then the explainer said, but other people said what is meant by it is the month of Safar, the second month of the Islamic year. And the denial here is what the people of Jahiliyyah used to do with regard to postponing certain months. And they used to make killing permitted in the month of Muharram, when killing was prohibited for them. And they used to instead make killing prohibited in the month of Safar. That is the saying of Malik. And Abu Dawud reports from Muhammad ibn Rashid, from one who heard him, that he said, the people of the days of ignorance used to take the month of Safar as being a bad omen, and they used to say it is a month of bad. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam came and nullified that. And Ibn Rajab al-Hanbali said, perhaps this saying is what is most correct. And taking an evil omen from the month of Safar is just like the deriving an evil omen that is prohibited. It is just the same as taking an evil omen from any particular day, such as the day of Wednesday, and the way in which the people of Jahiliyyah used to take an evil omen from the month of Shawwal, that they would not get married in that month in particular. And this is something that continues now. People still believe it now. People of ignorance, people who are upon ignorance, still believe that now. You're not allowed to get married in the month of Shawwal. Then he's saying in the hadith in the narration of Muslim, وَلَا نَوْءَ. It is the singular of Anwar stars. And speech about it will follow in the later chapter of this book, inshaAllah. And with regard to the last point, Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen, rahimahullah, he said the correct thing with regard to Safar is that it means there is no evil omen in the month of Safar. That was the view held by Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen. That's what's correct in explanation of the hadith. And with regard to this, his saying, وَلَا نَوْءَ, there is no evil omen to be derived from stars, then likewise Shaykh ibn Uthaymeen said, what it means is taking evil omens from an-nujum, from the stars. وَلَا غُول, and there is no ghul. And his plural is aghwal and ghilan, that is what is meant here, ghouls, or ghosts. He said, Ibn al-Athir said, the ghul is the singular of ghilan, and it is a type of jinn and devils. The Arabs used to claim that these ghouls lived in the open desert, and they could see the people, or rather they showed themselves to the people sometimes, rahmatullah. And they claimed that they were able to change into many different forms, and they were therefore able to misguide the people from the correct way and lead them into destruction. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam denied this and abolished this belief. Then the explainer brings a weak hadith with the wording that when the ghouls appear, then hasten to give the adhan. And that hadith is reported by Ahmad, and its chain of narration is cut off, it's weak, so there's no need to explain it. It's cut off because Al-Hasan al-Basri did not hear from the companion of the hadith, who is Jabir, radiallahu anhu. Sheikh Mashur Hassan, the student of Sheikh Al-Albani, said he's got a book called Al-Ghul about ghouls. What he said is what is correct in the end, and what is the view of the majority of the scholars is that what is denied in this hadith is what the people of the days of ignorance used to believe, that there were ghouls, there were devils which could change their form and could take different forms and therefore misguide the people and lead them away from the correct way. That is denied in this hadith.
Can I say another part again, please? Can you just say that again, please?
Mashur Hassan. With regard to what Sheikh Mashur Hassan said in his book about the ghoul, then he said the majority of the scholars, what is the view of the majority of the scholars, and what is the correct view, is that what is denied in this hadith with regard to ghouls is that what is denied is to what the people of the days of ignorance used to believe, that there were ghouls, this something of a type of jinn or shaitans that could take different forms, appear to the people to misguide them from the way and lead them astray and lead them into destruction, and the rest of the sayings that the people of ignorance held about that. And just something slight with regard to the fact of there being devils and the adhan repelling the shaitan, then this is something authentic. As Muslim reports in his Sahih from Suhail, who said, and this is in the book of prayer in Sahih Muslim, who said, from Suhail, he brings his chain back to Suhail, who said, my father sent me to Banu Haritha, me and a boy along with me. And we came to a wall, and the boy heard someone calling his name from behind the wall. So he said the person then went to look behind the wall and didn't see anything. So Suhail said, so when I went back to my father, I mentioned this to him. So he said, if I knew that you were going to encounter something like this, then I wouldn't have sent you. But if you do hear a voice, meaning a jinn, it's not some special species called ghouls or the like, just a jinn or shaitan. If you hear something like that, he said, if you hear the sound of something like that, meaning a jinn, then give the call to the prayer, meaning give the adhan. Because I heard Abu Huraira say that he narrated from Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam saying that shaitan flees when the call to the prayer is given, breaking wind. Wallahu alam. So with regard to the narration about ghouls and giving adhan when ghouls or the like, then that narration is weak. And the only thing that's authentic is something with regard to jinn. If a person is in a place where they're a jinn, giving the adhan to recover them. Wallahu alam. And we'll leave it there. The next hadith being the narration of Anas radiallahu anhu. We'll leave it to next time, inshallah. Allah must add.
إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد. Even though it's not on the usual day, we're going to continue with the explanation of Kitab al-Tawheed from Fath al-Majid, inshallah, and try and finish off the chapter that we're on, chapter 27, Babu Ma Ja'a Fi at-Tatayyur, chapter what is reported with regard to taking evil omens. And we reached the narration brought by the author, rahimahullah, وَلَهُمَا عَنْ أَنَسٍ قَالَ قَالَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ لَا عَدْوَى وَلَا طِيَرَةَ وَيُعْجِبُنِي الْفَأْلُ قَالُوا وَمَا الْفَأْلُ قَالَ الْكَلِمَةُ الطَّيِّبَةُ. And the two of them report from Anas, the two of them being Al-Bukhari and Muslim, the two of them report from Anas, who said, Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there is no adwa, there is no contagious disease which transmits without Allah's permission. And there are no bad omens. And al-fa'lu, anticipating good, pleases me. The people said, what is al-fa'l? He replied, a fine word, a good word. So this hadith is reported by al-Bukhari and Muslim, and you'll find it in Bukhari in the Book of Medicine, chapter 54, that there is no contagious disease which transmits without Allah's permission. And you find it in Muslim in the book of the giving greetings of Salam. And then hadith in Bukhari is number 5776. And just as a further point, then there's a further narration of this hadith brought by al-Bukhari from a hadith of Abu Huraira, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, لا تيرة وخيرها الفأل قالوا وما الفعل يا رسول الله قال الكلمة الصالحة يسمعها أحدكم. In a different narration of Al-Bukhari, that Abu Huraira reported the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as saying, there is no evil omen. And the best of that is al-fa'l, anticipation of good, or anticipating good. The people said, and what is this al-fa'l, O Messenger of Allah? So he replied, a righteous word which one of you hears. And then the explainer later on gives examples of that. Then the explainer, in fact, Hurmajid said, the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, because he explained before the saying of al-adwa, that there is no adwa and there is no tiara, that came before. And he said, as for the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, wa yu'jibuni al-fa'al, but al-fa'al, hoping or expecting or anticipating good, pleases me. Then he brings a quote from Ibn al-Athir saying language-wise what the words mean, what the word al-fa'al means. And then he said, and the reason why the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam loved this, hoping for good, expectation of good, is because as long as the people hope for benefit from Allah, they hear something good, meaning they hear something good, and it gives them good expectations and hope for good from Allah. Then, as long as they are hoping for benefit from Allah, and hoping that He will bring good to them, whether it be based upon something that is only a weak reason, or whether it be a strong reason for that, then they will be upon good. I mean, they hear a good word or something, even if it's a very weak cause to suggest that Allah is going to bring good about, but the people have hope for good from it, then it's something good. That means they'll be having good thoughts about Allah, and it will be something good and beneficial for them. Then he said, whereas if they cut off their hopes and their expectations from Allah the Most High, then that would be something evil. I mean, as long as the people, they hear something, and therefore they hope for good, that something good will happen, and they hope that Allah will bring good, then it will produce good for them. Whereas the opposite, if it happened, would be evil, if they cut off their hopes from Allah. Then he said, but as for at-tiyara, evil omens, then that contains having bad thoughts about Allah and expectation of troubles. Contrary to the case of at-tafa'ul, taking a fa'al, hearing something, and it gives you an expectation of good. That is, for example, that a man is sick, and he hears somebody else saying to someone, oh healthy person, or he has lost something and he's looking for it, so he hears someone else say to someone, oh finder. So that makes him, the person who hears this, come to hope that he will be cured from his illness, or that he will find the thing which he is looking for. I mean, he heard a good word, he heard somebody else, he's ill, and he heard somebody else saying to someone, oh healthy person. So he took it as a good sign for himself. Or he'd lost something, he heard someone else saying to someone else that, oh finder. Then he took it to be good, that's a good sign for himself. Then this is something good. This was something pleasing to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And this is shown, he said, and from this is the hadith here, where it was said to O Messenger of Allah, and what is this al-fa'al, expectation of good? He said, a good word. And he said, the explainer said, the saying of the people, and what is al-fa'al? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, al-kalimatu tayyiba, a good word. The explainer said, so the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear that this fa'al, hearing something that gives you that causes you to expect and hope something good will happen, that pleased him. So this shows that doing that is not from the prohibited form of taking omens. This is not counted as taking an omen. Then he brings a quote from Ibn al-Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala to clarify this. Why is this not from evil? Why is this not from taking omens? Ibn al-Qayyim said, because there is no shirk at all in the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam being pleased with al-fa'l, people hoping for good. There's no shirk in that. And there's no shirk in his loving that. Rather, it is just a result of inborn nature and something that comes about necessarily from a person's very nature. That which a person will, which is that the person will incline towards those things that conform to his nature and suit his nature. He will like them and conform to them. Just as the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed that from the things of this world, women and perfume were made beloved to him. Authentic hadith reported by Ahmad and An-Nasa'i from the hadith of Anas, declared authentic by Shaykh al-Albani. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that from the things of this world, women and perfume were made beloved to him. So it shows that the person will naturally incline towards and will love things that are good for him and beneficial for him, and will go along and with his nature and conform with it. And he also used to like sweet drinks and honey, and he would like to hear a person who had a fine voice when he recited the Quran or gave the adhan, and he would listen to that. And he used to love lofty manners and good character. He used to like that. So in summary, he used to love every case of completeness and everything that was good, and whatever would lead to that. And Allah the Perfect has placed it in the very root of people's nature that they become pleased when they hear a good, fine name. And they love that when they hear it. And they incline towards a good name. And likewise, Allah has made the people comfortable and glad and happy when they hear words expressing prosperity and well-being and success and greetings and good news and attainment of success and victory and so on. So when the people hear such words as these, then their souls do become happy and their hearts feel joy at that, and it strengthens their hearts. And when the people hear the opposite of that, then it causes the opposite to occur with them. And its opposite brings, well, he said that's something, basically he's explaining this is something natural. When they hear good words and fine words, it causes a good effect upon their heart. And if they hear the opposite, evil and bad words and things, it causes a bad impression upon their heart. Then Ibn al-Qayyim moves on and says, so if they hear things, however, which then produce sorrow in them and produce its effects with regard to fear and a feel of foreboding, and a wish to hasten away from something, and a desire, things which cause them to withhold, then in that case, these will be things which produce harm upon their worldly life and will cause deficiency in their iman, and will cause them to be polluted with shirk. That's the end of his quote, the quote from Ibn al-Qayyim. So he's explaining the difference between the two things. That it's very different here. If a person hears a good word, a good fine word, and just has a hope that something good will happen to him, and that good will come from Allah, then that is nothing from shirk, and that is not a case of evil omen. As opposed to the second case, where a person sees something which he thinks, oh, something bad is going to happen, and it causes him to fear and so on, then that is evil omens. And then he brings a quote from Al-Halimi, who said that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to love Al-Fa'al because at Tasha'um, taking bad omens is to have bad thoughts about Allah the Most High without any definite reason to do so. Whereas Al-Fa'al involves having good thoughts about Allah. And the believer is commanded that he should have good thoughts about Allah the Most High, whatever his situation is. Whatever situation he's in, the believer is commanded that he should have good thoughts about Allah. So that is where Al-Fa'al is just a case of that. You hear something and therefore it causes you to expect good. That's just a case of that, of having good thoughts about Allah. Then the author brings the next narration. وَلِأَبِي دَاوُدَ بِسَنَدٍ صَحِيحٍ عَنْ أُقْبَةَ إِبْنِ عَامِرٍ قَالَ ذُكِرَتِ الطِّيَرَةُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ فَقَالَ أَحْسَنُهَا الْفَأْلُ وَلَا تَرُدُّ مُسْلِمًا فَإِذَا رَأَى أَحَدُكُمْ مَا يَكْرَهُ فَلْيَقُلْ اللَّهُمَّ لَا يَأْتِي بِالْحَسَنَاتِ إِلَّا أَنْتَ ولا يدفع السيئات إلا أنت ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بك. And this narration is a weak narration. The hadith is da'if, is weak. So we read it because it's in the book, but the hadith is da'if. And Abu Dawood reports, he said, with an authentic chain of narration. That's what the author said. From Uqba ibn Amir, who said, omens were mentioned. At-tiyara, omens were mentioned to Allah's Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So he said, the best of them is al-fa'al, expecting good. And they should not prevent a Muslim. So if one of you sees something which he dislikes, then let him say, O Allah, nobody brings good things except you, and nobody repels evil things except you. And there is no movement and no ability except through you. And that hadith is da'if. And the reason it's da'if, it's got two weaknesses in the chain of narration. One of them being the narrator, Urwa ibn Amir. The author said Uqba ibn Amir, but what is correct is not Uqba. What is correct is Urwa ibn Amir. And he was a tabi'i. He was not a companion. He was from the tabi'een. So the hadith is mursal. I mean, there's a missing link in the chain between Urwa ibn Amir and the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the second reason is that the narrator from him as well, who is called Habib, his narration from Urwa ibn Amir is likewise cut off. There's a missing link in that part of the chain as well, because Habib is a mudallis and he reports it by saying from with an'ana. He doesn't directly state that he heard it from Urwa ibn Amir. So he's got two breaks in the chain. So the hadith is da'if. So bearing in mind that the hadith is da'if, we'll just take the explanation for the points of benefit in it, not that the hadith is established. The explainer said that the best of it is al-fa'al. He said, then it is preceded that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like al-fa'al, hearing things or seeing things which would produce expectation of good. And he gives two examples of this, which are both authentic narrations. He said, At-Tirmidhi reports, and he declared it authentic, from Anas radiallahu anhu, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he went out for a need, he used to like to hear someone saying, Ya Najih, Ya Rashid. He used to like to hear someone calling out to someone else with these names, Ya Najih, O successful person, O Rashid, O rightly guided person. And this hadith was declared sahih by Shaykh al-Albani. So that's one example of some practical examples of what is al-fa'al, hearing a word that will give you expectation of good. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like, if he went out, he used to like it when he heard someone calling somebody else by the name, oh Najih, oh successful person, or saying, oh successful person, or saying, oh rightly guided person. He would like to hear things like that. Then he brings a second narration, and Abu Dawud reports from Buraida that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam had not used to take any evil omens from anything. But when he sent someone to be employed to a duty, he would ask him about his name. And if he was pleased with that person's name, then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam became happy with that. And if he disliked his name, then dislike could be seen upon his face. Shaykh al-Albani declared this narration sahih, authentic, in Silsilatul Sahiha, number 762. Then with regard to the supplication, and obviously the supplication is part of this hadith, and the supplication is weak, as a hadith is weak, but just in explanation of the words, O Allah, nobody brings good things except you, and nobody repels evil things except you. The explainer said, it means At-tiyara, evil omens, do not bring any good, and nor do they keep away undesirable things. Rather you, O Allah, alone do that. You have no partner in that. Nobody else can bring good things or repel evil things. And what is meant by hasanat, good things here, is blessings. And what is meant by evil things, sayyi'at, is calamities. And then he quotes an ayah to support that. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 78 to 79. Then the explainer said, so this contains a rejection of the heart being attached to anything besides Allah with regard to bringing benefit or repelling harm. In this matter of bringing benefit or keeping harm away, this clearly cuts off any connection between, in a person's heart, between that and other than Allah. I mean, with regard to bringing good and repelling evil, the person realizes that this is solely from Allah, from nobody else. Then he said, and this is Tawheed. And this supplication befits a person who has something with regard to evil omens that falls in his heart. He sees something that makes him start to have evil ideas about evil omens. And it clearly shows that nobody can bring benefit and nobody can repel any harm besides Allah. And whoever believes that, then he is to be counted as a foolish person and a person of shirk. Whoever believes that there is anyone else who can bring good and repel evil, then he is a fool and he is a mushrik, a person of shirk. And he said, he's saying in the dua, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ, there is no movement and no ability except through you. He said, this shows seeking the aid of Allah the Most High upon the action of tawakkul, upon the action of relying solely upon Allah. So in relying upon Allah, you also seek His aid to achieve that reliance solely upon Him. And in not turning aside to evil omens, which might be a cause to cause a person to fall into something undesirable as a punishment for the person. Meaning, a superstitious person, he might see an evil omen and he might have bad feelings about it, and then something bad might happen to him as a punishment for that, for his depending upon evil omens. Not that something that's there in itself, in the evil, that there's some reality to evil omens, no. But Allah may punish him for that, give him some calamity because of his dependence upon omens. Then he said, and this dua, وَلَا حَوْلَ وَلَا قُوَّةَ إِلَّا بِكَ, is a supplication that will come only from the reality of tawakkul, of true reliance upon Allah, which is the strongest cause for producing good and for keeping bad things away. And he said, and al-hawl, in wala hawla, what al-hawl means, there is no movement and no change from one condition to another condition. And al-quwwa means none has the power or ability to bring about that change, except Allah alone, having no partner. So this shows disassociating from movement or power and will that is independent from the will and power of Allah alone. There's no such thing. And this is Tawheed with regard to Allah's Lordship. And Tawheed of Allah's Lordship is the proof which leads on to Tawheed al-Ilahiyya, Tawheed of worship of Allah alone, which is to single out Allah the Most High with all the forms and types of worship, which is Tawheed al-Qasd wal-Irada, which is also Tawheed al-Uluhiyya, which is also called Tawheed al-Ibadah, which is also called Tawheed al-Qasd wal-Irada, the Tawheed of acts done as worship and intentions. And that is preceded and all praises for Allah. Then the author brings the next narration in the chapter. وَعَنِ ابْنِ مَسْعُودٍ مَرْفُوعًا أَطِّيَرَةُ شِرْكُ أَطِّيَرَةُ شِرْكُ وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُذْهِبْهُ بِالتَّوَكُّلِ رواها أبو داود والترمذي وصححه وجعل آخره من قول ابن مسعود. And from Ibn Mas'ud, from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he said, taking evil omens is shirk. Taking evil omens is shirk. And there is not one of us except that he will feel something in his heart. However, Allah will remove that through tawakkul, through true reliance upon him. Reported by Abu Dawud and At-Tirmidhi, and he declared it sahih. And he declared the last part of it to be the saying of Ibn Mas'ud. And with regard to this narration, then Shaykh al-Albani declared it sahih, authentic, all of it. And all of it as being the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that what is correct is it's the whole saying is the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that's the correct saying from the scholars, that it's all the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And there's no proof that the last part was just the saying of Ibn Mas'ud. And you'll find that in As-Sahiha, number 429. The explainer said, the wording of Abu Dawud to this narration is that he said it three times. At-tiyaratu shirk, at-tiyaratu shirk, at-tiyaratu shirk. See, deriving evil omens is shirk, deriving evil omens is shirk, deriving evil omens is shirk. So this clearly shows the prohibition of taking evil omens, bad omens, and that they are shirk, because it involves the hearts becoming attached to something besides Allah the Most High. Then he said, Ibn Hamdan said, taking evil omens is something detested. And this is the saying of others from the companions of Imam, or the students of Imam Ahmad. And then he brings a quote from another Hanbali scholar, Ibn Muflih, where he corrects this saying and says, what has more right is that we clearly state it to be prohibited, haram, not just disliked or detested. Rather, that we clearly state it to be haram, forbidden, because it is shirk. And how can something which is shirk be only disliked, in the sense of makruh? Then he said, the author of the Sharh of the Sunan said, taking evil omens is declared to be part of a case of shirk because of the people's belief that evil omens bring benefit to them, or keep harm away from them if they act in the manner it demands. So it is as if the people in that case have ascribed partners to Allah the Most High. And as for the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا, and there is not one of us except that he feels something, then he said, Abu Qasim al-Asbahani and al-Mundhiri, these two scholars both said, there is an unstated part in the hadith, meaning the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam just said, وَمَا مِنَّا إِلَّا, and there is not one of us except, and he didn't say any more. So they said, so there is an unstated part whose meaning is to be taken as, there is not one of us except that he may feel something from that in his heart. And Al-Khalkhali said that this thing which is accepted was not mentioned because of its being something disagreeable, and that is from the manners of speech. I mean, the thing that he didn't mention it because it's something disagreeable, so he didn't mention it. He just said, there is not one of us except, and he stopped, because the rest would be understood without stating it. As for his saying, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ يُذْهِبْهُ بِالتَّوَكُّلِ, however, Allah will cause that to pass away by having true reliance upon him, he said, however, when we rely solely upon Allah to bring good and to keep evil away, then Allah causes those feelings to pass away from us due to our relying solely upon him alone. I mean, any such feelings that might arise in the heart, then Allah, if you truly rely upon him, he will cause that to pass away. And he's saying, he made the last part of it from the saying of Ibn Mas'ud. Ibn al-Qayyim said, this is what is correct. Rather, Ibn al-Qayyim said, but it is a correct saying. Meaning, whether it was the saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam or whether it was the saying of Ibn Mas'ud, either way, it's a correct saying. Because at-tira, taking evil omens, is a type of shirk. Then the author brings the next narration, the last narration in the chapter, وَلَهُ مِنْ حَدِيثِ الْفَضْلِ بِنْ عَبَّاسِ رَضِيَ اللَّهُ عَنْهُ إِنَّمَا طِيَرَةُ مَا أَمْضَاكَ أَوْ رَدَّكَ. And he reports from the hadith of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas رضي الله عنه that the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, taking an evil omen, he gives a definition, taking an evil omen is that which causes you to carry something out or stops you from doing something. I mean, not just the feeling, something that makes you act, stops you from doing something or causes you to do something. Then with regard to this narration as well, then the hadith is, this narration is da'if, it's weak, not authentic. Allahumma sta'an, what are the rest one out? That's what happened. That narration is weak, but the one just before it, which I missed out, is the author brings, Wali Ahmada min hadith ibn Amrin, man raddat hutiyaratu an hajatihi faqad ashrak, qalu fama kaffaratu thalik, qal an taqula Allahumma la khayra illa khayruk, wa la tayra illa tayruk, wa la ilaha ghayruk. And Ahmad reports from the hadith of Ibn Amr that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, whoever has an evil omen that prevents him from carrying out his need, then he has committed shirk. The people said, what is the expiation for that? So he said that you should say, Allahumma la khayra illa khayruk, wa la tayra illa tayruk, wa la ilaha ghayruk. That you should say, O Allah, there is no good except the good that you decree. And there is no evil omen, but only whatever evil you have decreed. and there is none who has the right to be worshipped besides you. Shaykh al-Albani said about that this narration, it's sahih, and he brings it in Silsilatul Sahiha, number 1065. And just briefly, some of them declare it to be weak because of the narrator Abdullah ibn Lahi'a, who's in its chain of narration. But Shaykh al-Albani authenticates it because one of the narrators from him is Abdullah ibn Wahab, one of the Abdullahs who narrated from him before his house burned down and before his books were burned, his manuscripts were burned. And so their narrations are authentic from him. With regard to this narration, the explainer said, it's the hadith of Ibn Amr, and he was Abdullah ibn Amr, Ibn al-As, Ibn Wa'il al-Sahmi, and his kunya was Abu Muhammad, or it is said, Abu Abdurrahman. He was one of the first and foremost Muslims who narrated a great deal amongst the companions, and he was one of the Abdullahs from the companions who were known as scholars. He died in the month of Dhul-Hijjah during the nights of the incident of Al-Harra, when there was an army which came and killed people in Medina. This is the most correct saying, and he died in the city of Ta'if. The explainer said, as for his saying, "Man raddat hutthiyaratu an hajatihi faqad ashrak," whoever has an evil omen that prevents him from his need, then he has committed shirk. The explainer said, this is because taking an evil omen means to take a bad omen from something that you see or hear. And if that prevents you from doing something from your need, something you had previously decided to do, such as intending to travel or the like, then if something like this prevents him from doing that, something that he sees or hears prevents him from that, then he has entered into shirk, as has preceded, because he has not made his reliance, his tawakkul upon Allah, purely and sincerely. Rather, he has turned aside to something besides Allah. So Satan will have, he will have given a share of his reliance to Satan. Then Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen brings an important point here. The saying of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "Faqad ashraka," then he has done shirk, meaning either major shirk, shirkun akbar, major shirk. It will be major shirk if the person holds that in his heart, that this thing that he takes as an omen acts and produces evil by itself. However, if he only believes it to be a means, then he has done minor shirk, lesser shirk. Obviously, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen is making the important point that if a person sees something, he derives it, he thinks it's a bad, he takes it to be a bad omen, and therefore stops what he's doing. But if he believes in his heart this thing itself is a cause of evil, it produces evil itself, then he's done major shirk, that which takes a person outside of Islam. But if he believes it's just something that's like a sign there, it's not something itself that produces evil, then it is lesser shirk. Then the explainer said, as for his saying, "Fama kaffaratu dhalik," the saying of the companions, what is the expiation of that? Mean they were asking, what can a person say, such that if he says it and turns away from the thing that appeared as an omen to him in his heart, if he turns away from it and does not give attention to it, what thing can he say so that Allah will wipe away that thing that came into his heart, Allah will wipe it away from him altogether, because it is caused to pass away from his heart by this supplication, which contains depending solely upon Allah alone and turning away from anything besides him. Then the explainer said, and this hadith contains the fact that evil omens do not harm, the people who hate them. I mean, somebody has an impression is caused in his heart. If a person hates that impression, the evil omen will not harm them, and rather he will proceed and should proceed upon his way. But a person who does not make his reliance upon Allah pure and sincere, and instead goes along with Satan in that regard, I mean, Satan puts the idea in his mind and he starts to go along with him, he stops doing the action, then he may be given a punishment by falling into that which he dislikes, because he has turned away from the obligation of having true faith, true iman in Allah, and from believing that all good is in Allah's hand. Because Allah alone is the one who brings good to his servants by his will, and he is the one who keeps away harm from his servants alone by his power and his benevolence and his fine treatment. So there is no good except from him, and he alone is the one who repels evil from his servants. So whatever evil befalls a person, then it comes about as a result of the person's own sins. Just as Allah said, وَمَا أَصَابَكَ, مَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ حَسَنَةٍ فَمِنْ اللَّهِ وَمَا أَصَابَكَ مِنْ سَيِّئَةٍ فَمِنْ نَفْسِكَ. Surah An-Nisa, the fourth surah, ayah 79. That whatever, with the explanation, whatever good comes to you, then it is from Allah. And whatever evil strikes you, then it is because of your sins. And the last narration that we mentioned before, out of order, وَلَهُ مِنْ حَدِيثِ الْفَضْلِ ابْنْ عَبَّاسِ إِنَّمَا الطِّيَرَةُ مَا أَمْضَاكَ أَوْ رَدَّكَ. And he reports, meaning Ahmad reports, from the narration of Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, that the Prophet ﷺ said, taking evil omens is just what causes you to do something or prevents you from something. And as preceded, it's da'if, it's weak, because one of its narrators, Maslama al-Juhani, is unknown, and he did not hear either from the companion, Al-Fadl ibn Abbas. And another of its narrators, Muhammad ibn Abdullah ibn Alatha, the scholars differ about whether he's acceptable or not. So the hadith is da'if, not authentic. And just briefly, with regard to the companion of it, we'll take the benefits from the explanation. Al-Fadl ibn Abbas, he was Al-Fadl ibn Abbas ibn Abdul Muttalib, the cousin of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Ibn Ma'in said he was killed on the day of the Battle of Yarmouk, and others said he was killed on the day of Maraj al-Sufr, on the year 13, at the age of 22. And Abu Dawud said he was killed in Damascus, whilst he was wearing the armour of the Prophet, of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Then he said, the explainer says, that the point at the end, that taking an evil omen is just that which stops you doing something or makes you do something. He said, this is the limit or extent of the prohibited evil omen. That it is that which leads a person to proceed to do something, or prevents him from doing something. And as for the fa'al, the good expectation, which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam used to like, then it is just a type of good news, something which causes the servant to be happy, something which he does not depend upon, contrary to something which will cause him to do something or stop him from doing something. Because that, in that case, there will be a dependence or some degree of dependence from the heart. So understand the difference, and Allah knows best. And that's the end of the chapter. And just briefly before, the further issues are very brief, inshallah. And just before the further issues, some points which Sheikh Salih Al-Fawzan, Hafidhullah, brings, or he brought in his recent lesson, with regard to this chapter. He said, with regard to the ayahs at the start of the chapter, where it shows that the people of Musa derived an evil omen from him, then he said that the same happened with the Prophet Salih alayhi salam. His people derived an evil omen from him as well. and that is shown by ayah 47 from Surah An-Naml, the 27th surah. And likewise, the mushriks did the same with the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They derived an evil omen from him. They believed he was an evil omen for them, as shown by Surah An-Nisa, the 4th surah, ayah 78. The second point that the Shaykh brought, these are just some points of benefit which a brother narrated to me from the Shaykh. The second one was that Al-Adwa, contagious disease. The contagious disease Al-Adwa, which is denied. Rather, contagious disease is not denied, rather it is something real and true that exists. Contagious diseases that pass from one person to another, they exist. And what is denied is just what the people of Shirk used to believe, that contagious diseases are independent of the will of Allah the Most High. It means something that they can move about themselves without the will of Allah. That is what is denied, not the fact that contagious diseases exist. Then a further point the Shaykh brought was, he said that al-fa'al, good expectation, he said it can be summarized to mean just having good thoughts about Allah the Most High. And the last point he made was that what should a person do if he sees something that makes him have a feeling in his heart, a feeling of an omen in his heart. He said he should do three things. First, depend and place reliance, tawakkul, upon Allah alone. Secondly, he should carry on doing whatever he was doing. Thirdly, he should mention the supplication that came in the hadith we just had. Allahumma la khayra illa khayruk, wa la tayra illa tayruk, wa la ilaha ghayruk. Oh Allah, there's no good except the good that you decree. And there's no bad omen. There is only the bad that you decree. And none has the right to be worshipped except you. And just briefly, the last issue, the further issues at the end of the chapter. Then the author says, it contains further issues. The first of them is drawing attention to the saying of Allah the Most High, أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُكُمْ أَلَا إِنَّمَا طَائِرُهُمْ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ. Saying of Allah the Most High, their evil omen, or the evil that comes to them, is only from Allah. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, this has to be taken also along with his saying, طَائِرُكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. The author actually brings it and says, along with his saying, ta'irukum ma'akum, along with his saying, your evil omen is something with you. Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, meaning, because what it means, that the person's attention should be drawn to this, because what is apparent from these two ayahs is that they contradict. I mean, the first one mentions about their ta'ir being with Allah, and the second one mentions their ta'ir is being with themselves. So he said, Shaykh Ibn Uthaymeen said, but that is not the case. They don't contradict, because the Quran and the Sunnah do not contradict each other, and there is no contradiction within them. Contradiction will only come in the understanding of the people, and it has preceded how we harmonize these two ayahs, harmonize our understanding.